Have anybody ever preached to yourself? But what do I mean by preaching to yourself? Well, you know, sometimes you have to tell yourself you will believe, you will do what's right, you will follow the Word of God. Sir? Okay, you may keep going. Okay, keep going. Hallelujah, I can do that. And, you know, your flesh wants to be lazy. Your flesh don't want to follow God. I can talk loud if I need to. So your flesh wants to be lazy. It wants to sit down and it wants to give up. It doesn't want to be obedient to the Word. And one of the best sermons that you can preach to yourself when you're down, everybody been down? Anybody ever been down? It's Psalms chapter 42, which says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" In other words, why are you in the mullygub, soul? Grub soul. Have you ever heard that saying? Why are you depressed? Why are you anxious, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you so quiet? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, my God and my help. My God and my help. Why are you cast down? And I want to read you a word that I've read here before, but it goes along with the message that I have today. And the word starts out by saying, "Why are you cast, depressed down on my soul? Why have you become disquieted or easy or wearied within? Rise up with a voice of triumph. For I, the Lord your God, shall deliver you and set you on high places. Be not fearful or dismayed, distressed, sad, or troubled. I will cause you to rise again, and your voice shall be a prophetic ring in the ears of a people who have become dismayed. Sound the alarm from my holy mountain. Sound loud and clear that I am the Lord your God, and will draw with cords of love, of my love, a people unto me who have become disheartened. So look up, though there may be destruction, but in me you will have a safe place. For I have and will continue to have a people that will serve me with all their heart. They will cling to me, and I will deliver them in the day of trouble. And they shall say, surely God has delivered again, and he will again and again and again. Let hope be rekindled in you to believe again." So God has said, let hope be rekindled in you today so that you can believe again. Rekindled means simply to revive. Rekindled means simply to revive. So God wants to revive hope in your life again. The Bible says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Deferred simply means to postpone or delay. So the longer that you are feeling hopeless and feel like that you have no hope, the sicker you become. God doesn't want you to have a sick heart. So if you've lost hope, I believe that today you'll be revived as you receive the Word. The Word tells us in Romans 15, "Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." God wants us to abound in hope. He wants us to have so much hope that there is so much excitement that we're just anticipating a suddenly all the time. Why not God? Why not me? And why not now? Hallelujah. So in other words, he wants you to have lots of hope so that your heart will not get sick. Now in the natural, when your heart, something happens to your heart, it affects your whole body. When that blood flow stops flowing the way it should be and you're deprived of that oxygen-giving blood, something begins to happen to you in the natural. You become lethargic. You become kind of like placid. You don't feel good. You don't have any energy. Hope is what gives faith the energy to believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. Glory to God. So that's why God doesn't want your hope to be deferred. He doesn't want your heart to be sick. He wants you to abound abundantly in hope that you can continue to believe that what God said He'll do, He'll do. Amen? So God wants us to abound in hope. The world kind of hope is not what I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about the kind of hope the world wants you to have. The world kind of hope is a cross your finger or wishful type of thinking that maybe it will. You know, you get up and say, well, I hope it don't rain today. So in other words, you're saying, I'm hoping it don't, but it might or it might not. Amen? You know, or I hope they don't be late, or I hope they win the ball game. That's the world's kind of hope. But the biblical type of hope that I'm talking about today is a confident expectation. A confident expectation and a desire for something good in the future. A confident expectation. Not that God might do it, or I wish He would, or maybe He will, but a confident expectation that I know God will. I may not know when, and I may not know how, but I'm abounding in hope. I've allowed hope to become alive in me. Amen. The worst feeling that any of us can have, and we've all been there, is a feeling of hopelessness. A feeling of a place where you feel like that the situation can't be solved, that it's completely hopeless, there's nothing you can do about it. And in some ways, that's good, but you can't continue feeling that way. Amen? Because that when you feel hopeless and there's nothing you can do, that's when you really get to the end of yourself and begin to say, not my will, God, but your will be done. But we've all been to that place where that feeling of hopelessness settles in on us. And we feel like that nothing can be done about it. So this is what the enemy of your soul wants you to feel. This is how he wants you to live. But God's got a bigger plan and a better plan. Amen. He does not want you to have a spirit of hopelessness. He wants you to believe that there has been a breakdown of your faith. The devil wants you to believe that if it's not happening, that if God's promises are not being fulfilled in your life, that something must be wrong with your faith. That you need to have more faith. You need to fast more. You need to pray more. You need to do. When God's already did, as Pastor Laverne said. Church, there's not been a breakdown of your faith. Because the Bible tells us that He's given you a measure of faith. You have all the faith you need right now to move mountains. Hallelujah. You have all the faith you need right now to lay hands on yourself and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You have all the faith you need to lay hands on somebody else and say, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Hallelujah. It's not been a breakdown of your faith. It's been a breakdown of your hope. That spirit of hopelessness that the enemy wants you to feel. So it's been a breakdown of your hope somewhere along the way, not your faith. Don't be discouraged. Amen. Should we pray? Yes. Should we study the Word? Yes. Hallelujah. But it's not a breakdown of your faith. It's a breakdown somehow, somewhere along the way, that you have been discouraged, that we have become discouraged and have lost hope because we've not seen what God said is ours yet. But I'm here to tell you, like I said last Sunday, God is redeeming the time and help is on the way. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Help is on the way. God's not forsaking you. He's not abandoning you. He's for you, not against you. He loves you. And if we'd ever get a rhema word of how much God loves us, that would solve a whole lot of our problems. That would solve a whole lot of our problems. So He has given us enough faith to move mountains. So you've had a breakdown of your faith somewhere along the way. Now faith, now listen, I believe there's three ways to look at faith. There is a faith that looks there, the faith that, not a faith, but the faith that looks back in the past and says, I know God has. Look back and say, I know God has done this for me, and God has come through this for me and done that for me. Then there is faith that's the present faith. That you know that God is doing it. Amen. That you're seeing the manifestation unfolding right before your eyes. And you say, God is doing it. Faith now is doing what He said He would do. But then there's the future faith that says, it hasn't happened yet, but I know help is on the way. And oh my Lord, somebody, that help is on the way and it's going to be like God said it was going to be. I may not know how, I may not know when. I'm not going to try to work it out on my own, like I said last week. Hallelujah. But help is on the way. So there's the faith that looks back. There's the faith that is now. And there's the faith that looks into the future. Into the promises of God. And that's where hope comes in. That's where hope comes in within that faith. Is that future faith. That you know God is going to do what he said he would do. The Bible tells us as Romans. Now may the God of peace. God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In the power of the Holy Ghost. So knowing God is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How many times have we heard that, church? The Bible talks about the full assurance of faith, our full assurance of hope in Hebrews 6. And in verse 12, we begin to understand that it implies that hope and faith are really the same thing when it's mixed together. Full assurance in Hebrews 6:11 is a big word that I don't know how to pronounce, but I will spell it for you. P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-I-A-N, which is a Greek word. And it's also used in Hebrews 10:22, where it reads, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us go on and hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." As Christians, we have hope because it's rooted and grounded in the faithfulness of a faithful God. Amen. That's why we can have hope. Not hope within ourselves that it'll happen, but hope in the fact that we serve a faithful God. And his faithfulness is to generation to generation. Hope is what makes the future promises of God become a reality in our life. Hope is what makes the promises that have not yet manifested in your life that you know God has said is yours. Hope is what makes it become a reality at some point. Hope and knowing that God will. There is a man in the Bible by the name of Abraham. You all have heard the story of Abraham. Amen. In Genesis chapters 12, we have the beginning story of Abraham. And this is what God told Abraham. He said, "Abram, get out of your country. Get out of your country, Abraham. Get away from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great." So the Bible says Abram just departed. Boy, wouldn't we like to be that obedient. If God said it, we just did it. We just got up and went, or got up and did. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Glory to God. That is faith and hope in mixture there. By faith, I know God has told me to get up and to get out. And in hope, I know that he's going to take me where he's promised he would take me. All Abraham had was a word from the Lord. That's all you need, brother. That's all Abraham had was a word from the Lord. And that's all you need to generate that hope in you. At that point, when God said it, a word from the Lord, don't talk yourself out of it. Don't let anybody else talk you out of it. No matter how ridiculous it seems, I've got my word from the Lord. I done got my word from the Lord. You can't talk me out of it. Amen. One word from the Lord is all Abraham needed. Get away from everything that is familiar. And we don't like to get away from familiar things because we as humans like to be in control. We like to know how everything's going to operate, when it's going to operate, how it's going to operate, who it's going to operate with. But he said, "Abraham, in order to bless you, you've got to get away from your family. You've got to get out of your land." It's those well-meaning people that I talked about last week that wants to try to talk you out of what God has said. So the very thing that we want to hold on to, the familiar thing, being in that comfort zone, it's what we need to let go of maybe. And it's maybe what's keeping you from receiving what God is wanting to bless you with. Just because everything's going well doesn't mean it's God. That word is for somebody this morning. You may be in a job situation or something. It's going great. But you hear a nudging from God that says it's time. And at that moment, you may be thinking, but everything's going great. Why now? All you need is that word from God and just head out. Hallelujah. All you need is that one word from God. In his journey along the way, as we studied the life of Abraham, Abraham's faith grew in God day by day as he saw God begin to do little things for him. And that's how our faith increases. So we begin to generate that hope with faith, and we begin to see God do things in our life. Our faith is increased more and more. Yeah, God's for me, not against me. Look what he did. He loves me. Hallelujah. So in his journey along the way, Abraham's faith grew in God who had spoken to him because he saw God's grace along the way. The whole part of faith at Abraham had looked to the future that God would do what he promised. And Romans 4:18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope. Sounds like that's contradictory, don't it? Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in faith, without beginning to doubt, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. That hope, part of faith, kept generating in himself. It said, I got my word from God way many years ago. And even though everything around me appears as though it cannot be, God said it would be. And he could bring life to that which is dead, to cause it to happen. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. That's when you have to preach to yourself sometimes and strengthen yourself in your faith. Amen. Look yourself in the mirror and say, you are going to obey God. You are going to do what is right. Hallelujah. You are going to walk the way the word says to walk. Sometimes you need to talk to your flesh and tell the flesh who's boss. Say, I've got a bigger boss living in me than the boss of my flesh. Hallelujah. And it's called the Holy Ghost. And he said he'd lead you into all truth. Amen. So, but strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. That's that can't talk me out of it kind of persuaded. God had power to do what he promised. Now I want you to listen to it in the Message Bible. When everything was hopeless, same passage of scripture here. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. When everything around him was contrary to what the word that God had given to him, when everything looked like it was dead, I was thinking about Ezekiel and the dry bones. And God was telling him to go down there to speak to him so they could live. And if you look at the natural, you've got to be kidding. How can that which is dead live again? When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Why? Because he got his word from God. And that was hope of the faith that said hope of the future. So this is what God said is how it's going to be. Believed anyway, deciding to live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do. That's coming to the end of yourself. Amen. And realizing that you can't make it happen. So he relied on God, not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do. But on what God said he would do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you look at things at what you think that it cannot be, that's when your heart gets deferred. And that's when it begins to lose hope and it gets sick. And so he was made a father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to Abraham in the word that he gave him years ago, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham believed even when there seemed to be nothing to believe in. There was nothing for Abraham to base his faith and his belief and his hope upon except the word that he got from God. That's all you need, whether it's a personal word or what you find in this scripture. It does not matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what anybody else has said. His faith and his hope was rooted and grounded. God said, that is where my hope is. You're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham believed even when there seemed nothing to believe in because he had hope in God's promise and in God himself, the faithfulness of God, because Abraham served a faithful God. So, too, we need to have this same kind of hope. When times seem hopeless, God will not leave us. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He is always with us. And when it seemed you just can't believe, when it seems as if you've come to the end of yourself and you've decided, I've tried it this way and I've tried it that way to make it work, coming to the end of yourself, amen, have you ever been there? I've been there more than once. We have to have the same hope when times seem hopeless. God not leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. And when it seems you just can't believe, that is when God carries you because you do not have the strength to go any further. There are sometimes you just need to go to bed, zip your mouth, cover your head up. God's got it. There ain't nothing I can do about it. Amen. And God will come through. God carries you because you do not have the strength to go any further. Have you ever been there, church? Have you ever been in a situation where it seemed absolutely hopeless and you thought, there's nothing that I can do about it. Absolutely nothing that I can do about it. But I know that God can, God has, He is, and He will. And you cannot go any further on your own. You got through. How did you get through? Because of your hope in God. Glory to God. That's how you get through it. When you're in a hopeless situation, you feel like there's nothing else you can do. It's your faith mixed with hope, a hope type of faith that will carry you through where there seems like there's nothing else working out. Against hope. Abraham believed anyway. Hope against hope, as I read a while ago. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against hope, all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against hope means that from the ordinary human perspective of things, from the human standpoint of things, there was no hope. It's like the hopeless situation, the hopelessness that we have all felt at times, at one time or another. Abraham, in the natural, how many knows that God exceeds the natural? Amen. We're talking about a supernatural God that's already established that in His kingdom, and He's trying to get that down to us or get us to the place where we believe that it belongs to us. Abraham, in the natural, was too old to have a child. His wife was barren. But biblical hope, the kind of hope that I'm trying to stress to you this morning, is never based on what is possible with men. Because if it was possible with man, it wouldn't be impossible with God. But that which is impossible with us as humans is possible with God. But biblical hope is never based on what is possible with men. And if we've never had to go through anything, church, why would we ever know the faithfulness of God? How will we ever know that God is the God of the Bible? That God is set. But He knew we would be going through some things. He knew as humans that we would mess up and we would make stupid choices and we would feel times of hopelessness and all those things. And He made a way. And it's called Jesus. It's called grace. It's called mercy. Because our hope and faith is based on the faithfulness of the God that we serve that says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. And that which is impossible with you, I've made it possible through my Son, Jesus Christ. When he said it is finished on the cross, church, he meant exactly what he said. It is finished. Just take a deep breath right now. Breathe in the freshness of God this morning. And the very thing that you're looking at that seems hopeless to you, God says it's not with me. All things are possible to him that believeth. So if you could get your own in your own way, you wouldn't need God. And we all need God because us humans do crazy stuff. Have you ever looked back at something, decision you've made, and you thought, what on earth was my mind? Well, that was the problem. You didn't have the mind of Christ. Amen? We didn't have the mind of Christ at that moment. That was the problem. So we need God because us humans do crazy stuff. And if we could get it on our own, it would not be faith if we end up a mess because God knows best. I thought that was pretty cute. I thought, that rhymes. So if we could get it on our own, it would not be faith, and we end up a mess because God knows best. A bumper sticker. Biblical hope always looks away from man to the promises of God. And then that's when it becomes the full assurance of hope, the expectation of great things from God, of great things from God. And I want to read you the chapter. It's in Romans. I forgot to write the chapter down. But just listen. And this is from the Message Bible too, but it is so good. It's that shouting kind of word. The famous promise God gave Abraham that he and his children will possess the earth was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him. When your life seems chaotic, God is busy at working, putting everything together for you. Hallelujah. So it wasn't something because of something Abraham did. It was based on God's decision because he loved you. He is putting everything together in your life. God's decision to put everything together for Abraham, which Abraham then entered when he believed. So God is just looking for somebody to come into agreement with the decision that he's already made for your life. And you've been busy trying to figure it out. He wants to keep you busy trying to figure out your purpose. And he just says, get up and do what you need to do every day. And doing what you need to do every day, you will find your purpose. It will just begin to unfold when you begin to trust God. If those who get what God gives them only get it by doing everything they are told to do and filling out all the right forms, properly signed, that eliminates personal trust completely and turns the promise into an ironclad contract. We're in a covenant, not a contract. Contracts are made to be broken. But the blood of Jesus' covenant can never be broken. And he's waiting for somebody to enter that covenant with him. Hallelujah. That's not a holy promise. That's a business deal. A contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer and with plenty of fine print only makes sure that you will never be able to collect. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have fine print? It is what it is and it says what it says. Amen? God doesn't have fine print and you don't have to go looking for the fine print that you're thinking in your human mind that God's out to get you. Hallelujah. He is not out to get you. He's out to get to you. That's what he's already promised. A contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer. There is no contract in the first place. Simply a promise. A covenant is simply God's promise to you. This is what I have done. Now enter into that covenant with faith. Knowing I have, I am, and I will. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll never get through this. And God's promise at that, and you can't break it. You can't break it. God has got you in his grip, and he's not going to let you go because you are the apple of his eye. He's not going to let you go. Quit squirming. That's why you're so miserable. You're trying to get out of the grip of God, and he's not going to let you go. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way, and then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way anyone, everyone can get sure, can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who have never heard of them, for Abraham is a father of us all. Father Abraham. Remember that song, Father Abraham? He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backward. He is our faith father. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. You may feel like you're a nobody, but God's already said you're somebody, and you need to start acting like it. You need to start presenting yourself like that you're a somebody and not a nobody. Your past doesn't determine your future unless you allow it to. Amen? God said to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father, then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word, made something out of nothing. And when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, decided to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made a father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impetus and say, it's hopeless this 100-year-old body could ever father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of her fertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise cautiously, skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise, and that's when you come to the end of yourself. I say it again. That's when you come to the end of yourself and just plunge in and lose it all to God. Amen? Just plunge in. And say, this sounds crazy, God, but I'm going head first in. And you'll work it out as I go. I may not understand it at the moment. I got my word from you, and I'm just going to go ahead and plunge in. Because I've tried it every which way anyway. What have you got to lose? You've got everything to lose, but everything to gain. Amen. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. You can't make yourself right on your own. You've already been made right because of the blood of Jesus. You stand righteous before God no matter how many problems you have at this moment and how many stupid choices you're making. You've already been made right before God. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. So Abraham's faith was strong, confidence in the reliability of God's word. That's where his faith and hope was mixed at, in the reliability of a word that had already been established, a covenant that was shed, that was made in the blood of Jesus. Abraham's hope was his strong confidence in the fulfillment of that promise, that word. In other words, whenever faith in God looks to the future, it can be called hope. Hope was, hope is, and hope. Faith was, faith is, and faith will be. Because hope looks to the future, not what is or should be or can be, what already is. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close your eyes for a minute, church. Thank you, Father God. You know, I know we all get up every morning. We have lives to live and things to do and jobs and children and spouses and decisions to be made. And sometimes we get up in the morning and we know what we're going to face during that day. And sometimes things come along that we didn't know was going to come along. But I want to reassure you, church, that we serve a faithful God. And his word is true, bounded in the blood of Jesus. And there are things that we don't go through the day that we don't know we're going to have to deal with. But do you have hope this morning? In spite of everything else, do you have the biblical hope, the assurance that your God is able, that whatever decision you may be facing this week or tomorrow, or things that may come up this week that you don't know about yet, the little surprises that are thrown in there, do you have a hope based in the faithfulness, rooted and grounded in the faithfulness of God, that no matter what, that you, God, and the Holy Ghost can get through this? Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. Not wishing God would, but knowing God will. Jeremiah 17 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. If you just want prayer this morning, just raise your hand. If, If maybe there's something going to be going on this week, and you just need to, just to lift your name up in prayer as I pray over these other prayer requests this morning. Just lift your hands right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for every hand that's lifted in this congregation today, that we are not without hope, that you have left us with your covenant shed in the blood of Jesus, and we have entered into that covenant through faith, Father. We thank you that hope has been revived in us today to believe again that we're not left hopeless. Whatever decisions, Lord, these people are having to make next week, God, and we just thank you, Lord, to have the wisdom and the power of the Holy Ghost to make right decisions, to do the right thing. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I pray for the ones on the prayer list today. We lift our pastor up to you, God. Thank you for the finished work in his body. We just minister grace and peace to him right now in the name of Jesus. No, there's no distance in prayer, that you would touch and minister to him in the name of Jesus. And we pray for Pat's mother and mine and Brother Danny's mother this morning, Lord, that you would touch their bodies, that you would touch their minds, that you would give them peace today, God, in the midst of the turmoil and confusion that's going inside of them. We just speak peace to them in the name of Jesus. And for Sister Juanita's healing, God, we thank you for complete restoration in her body, that you raise her up for your glory and a testimony, Father, of your healing power. For Dimple Buck and for healing, God, for Robert and Donnie Turner's salvation. We thank you, Father, for Phyllis, Lord, the mother of faith that has stood in the gap time and time again for others, Lord. We thank you that for the salvation of her family, Father God. Not one shall be lost in Jesus' name. And for Gail, Father, we thank you that she is led and guided by your Spirit to the right people at the right time. And I just speak right association in Jesus' name. And for Edwin, Father, I just pray for him, for his breathing, God, that you would breathe a fresh breath within him right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing to his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, that he is the healed of the Lord, and by your stripes he is healed. And we pray for Joyce today, God. We just lift her up today, Panasha's mama. We just thank you, Father God, that you've got her covered, that you've got her in your grip tightly, God, and that you love her and you show her that love today. I speak a blessing over this congregation of people today. I speak favor comes to you this week in Jesus' name. I speak favor over you and your household in the name of Jesus, that you're blessed coming, that you're blessed going, and that everything that your hand touches is blessed in the name of Jesus, that you are highly favored of the Lord and favor surrounds you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you this week. And the church said, amen. Have a blessed week.